morning, everyone. Everyone well? Good. How's 2020 going so far for everyone? How's 2020 going for you so far? All right? Mixed? Not been great for us. We've all been ill constantly. You've been blessed. That's what we like to hear. I'm hoping ours goes up from here and we're less ill, but it's all good. New year, and I don't know if anyone else is like this, but new year used to terrify me. I think it's because I'm self-employed, and I used to just stare into a new year of, oh, where's all my work going to come from? Thankfully, that's not as unpredictable anymore, but it's a real excitement, isn't it, standing at the beginning of a new year and thinking, right, let's go again, let's do it all again. And I'm really just going to follow on, really, from what Matt spoke about last week. Was everyone here last week to hear Matt? Don't know if you were or not, if you caught up online. But really, Matt sort of just laid out sort of God's heart and God's intentions, I fully believe, for what he has for City Church this year. And it was very much that God is going to move in a way where we see the lost found and lives made new and wonderful, stories of transformation and new birth and people coming to know Jesus. That's what we want so much. And you'll remember he read from, is it Thessalonians 3, where Paul says, pray for us that the gospel will spread or will run, as we like to say. The gospel will just run through this town here, and that's what we're wanting. And he talked from Luke 19, where it's just, this is such a mantra, for it says in Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man, why did he come? He came to seek and save the lost. And that's what we're doing, isn't it? That's why we're here, amongst other things, obviously building a community, growing in holiness, growing in all these things, but this is why we're here, isn't it? Jesus is building his church on the earth. We're a part of it. And he came for this reason. He came to seek and save the lost. The lost, by the way, you and I. And at that point, we continually, and we will never grow weary of that realization and bowing our heads and saying, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I was lost, completely lost. And you sought me, and you saved me, and now I'm found. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's why everyone here and all over the world gathers week in, week out, to come and say, thank you, Jesus. That was me. You came for me. I was lost. You sought me. You saved me. It's great. So I'm just going to follow on, really, with all of that. And essentially, to give you the punchline of what I'm trying to talk about this morning, what I think God's wanting to communicate to us, is I think God spoke to us last week, this is in my heart for us this year. And then immediately, I sort of had an internal dialogue going on. And what I think the Lord wants to communicate to us is, yeah, this is in my heart, and this is how you need to respond to it, essentially. This is how we need to deal with that, how we need to walk that out and make it work in a way that's joyful and celebratory, and yeah, it's good. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're thinking about this morning. I don't know if you have picked up on this, but there's Matt. I think more than anyone, Matt has little phrases that he likes to come out with. We were at a conference recently, and the guy who was doing the talk mentioned a few things. He listens online to stuff from here, and he mentioned one thing. He said, who's that from City? We said, that's Matt. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then later on, he said, he mentioned this thing. He said, blah, 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 a growing awareness. He said, I've listened to City. They're always going on about a growing awareness. Who says that? We said, yeah, that's Matt. Matt's Matt. And but it's true. There is, to Matt, it was a growing awareness in me, and I think in us, that God is doing something, is bringing us into a new season. This church has been through lots of different seasons. A lot of the time, obviously, because it started with a couple of people, was just foundations. God was just building his foundations, which happens all underground, and it takes a long time. Ask John and Wendy. And that process is slow. And so that was a season. We've had other seasons, but there is a growing awareness that this is a new season that God's bringing us into, and he's bringing people to us. And he's putting people in our hearts and minds, and we're crossing paths with people at work and wherever, where God is saying, yeah, these people, this is for a reason, because this is the season I'm bringing us into. So that's a good marker in the ground, because it's not just, guys, this is a good new idea. Let's try and tell everyone that this is the new thing. That's a strategy and thinking and planning is great. But it's even better when it's already in God's heart, isn't it? And then you just think, oh, well, we'll follow you. So this is better than just good ideas and wanting to be missional and all the rest of it. It's something that God is doing. A time of salvation, a time of seeing lives made new. Matt talked about this. A time where the baptistry is not dry for any length of time. That's so much in my heart that the baptistry would never dry out. That it's always being brought out and there's still water left on it from the last time. I don't want it put away for months and months on end. So that's where we're heading. That's in my heart. That's what I think God is talking to us about. So thinking about that, I remember I was looking back, thinking about things, and as a younger Christian, and I think we all do this, disagree with me if you didn't, but you become a Christian, and for me it was very stark because I was unchurched and then became all of a sudden into church, and I started reading lots of books, and in the church I was in particular, there was very much a sort of, for someone like me, the trajectory would have been, oh, this guy was a non-Christian, completely unchurched, now God's got hold of him, now God will send him out as a missionary into the mission field abroad, probably. And so I was already sort of processing that, thinking, yeah, I'll probably end up somewhere foreign. That's what will happen. I read lots of books about the great missionaries, and I used to think, well, yeah, that's probably what I should do. I should go somewhere. But there was always this tension within me because I never felt any sort of witness to that. I never felt like I was going to jump on a plane and go somewhere else. And quite early on, I came to the settled realization, and it was a good thing for me, is that, no, do you know what? God wants me in the UK. That's 100%. And people always used to say to me, oh, where do you think God will send you? And quite early on, I was grateful to be able to say, here. I want the UK. I want to live here, and I want to reach people here. That's what I want more than anything. And still, amongst, obviously, lots of other things, but I dream, and this is my main passion, of families from this country, wherever they come from, but here, living here, walking in through the doors, with their kids and finding Jesus. You know, people that don't know Jesus, families all together coming in. It's what I dream of. And it's what we pray for, isn't it? And so if you're in that boat and you don't feel called overseas to anywhere else or some other big continent, and I guess we're all in the same boat as one another, aren't we? We're all here in this country, for the people in our city, to reach them. This is where God has called me. It's where God has called us, unless he tells you otherwise, to shine the light of his gospel, that the gospel may run. This is what we were hearing last week. This is where we're called, to be a city on a hill, bright, shining, not to be hidden, but visible, and with a message of love and rescue for those who are lost. And so thinking about that, and I think probably it's one of the main jobs of whoever stands up here on a Sunday morning, but also in house groups and as friends, I think one of the main questions we need to ask ourselves is from Luke 18, verse 8. And it's just this little comment about when the Son of Man returns, what's he looking for? What is Jesus looking for on the earth? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? That's what he's looking for. He's looking, I've talked about this before, I can't remember where it is. Sorry, I should have found it. But how God says, you know, his eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth to find faithful hearts of faith, who are looking beyond all of the natural and looking to him and asking for big things and asking for this, because this is in the heart of God and we're just getting aligned with it. I gave the talk at the carol service this year and I was very much stirred to challenge people who maybe aren't churched, who came, because I think those people often think it's Christmas, blow it, I'll pray, I'll ask for a miracle, I'll pray for this, this and this. So I challenged those people, yeah, ask for a miracle, but also ask for much more than that. Ask for a healing of your heart. Ask for a new life. Ask for Jesus to reveal himself to you. And I want to encourage us the same, really. That, yeah, we come. I think, unfortunately, often, if you are in any way similar to me, I'm often found guilty of not asking for even miracles. You can just get caught up, can't you, in the day-to-day of, yeah, Lord, I pray, bless my day, and that the van would start, and that the kids would sleep well and that dinner would work. And it's just minor things. And I just think, Johnny, sometimes I hear myself and I catch myself. And I'm talking to God Almighty and I'm asking just give for a nice, lovely day. It's not enough. And that cannot be my prayer life. And so it's an encouragement. It's a challenge to us. Yeah, ask. But let's ask much bigger than we probably are doing, bearing in mind what God is saying he wants to do amongst us. So that's how I've sort of processed all of this. And then there's a problem. And this hit me last week as Matt was talking. Again, maybe I'm just revealing all my sinful nature to you this morning. But I listened to Matt. He comes and gives this very much, you just think, yes, I'm inspired. God, the Spirit is speaking to us. We're going to say, but in me, there's always this thing of, all right, okay. And then I realized there's a problem about faith. And the problem to do with faith, and there's a thing that sucks faith from us, and that thing is called life. Everyday life. We all conduct ourselves in life. And what I want us to do is I want to think about a horizontal line, and underneath that line is the natural, everyday life. And I'm going to read some things out in a minute. I must, at this point, have a little aside to credit Lewis Kelly with the visuals. You will notice sometimes when I talk, I put my verses or whatever on a PowerPoint. It has been raised to me that it's not cool enough. I thought just having anything on a screen was better than my usual, but I have come under some criticism that maybe the younger generation want more than Times New Roman in black and white. So I said to said person, fine, you do it. So this week, if it's rubbish, it's Lewis's fault. But if it's much better, then it's also Lewis's fault. And now I haven't even seen any of this, and I'm not even going to turn around. Because what I saw earlier was woeful. But, you know, he's young and trendy. So anyway, Lewis has done all this for me because he heavily criticizes my normal efforts. If you remember, I did something similar last year, and I actually drew it in black pen on a piece of A4 paper and then took a photo and then put that on the screen. So it's got to be better than that. But anyway, life and faith is sort of the sucker to our faith that God is looking for amongst us. He's here this morning. Obviously, amen, we agree. He's here where two or three are gathered in his name. He's with us. He's with us. And what does he find when he's here? This is the question I think we need to ask ourselves, that I need to check myself with to make sure I'm in line with the God who I am praying to, God Almighty, God of wonders. And so in natural everyday life, and I want you to think about these things because they are full on, but we have family, don't we? We all have family. We have parents, husbands, wives, and children. Now, you could stop there, couldn't you? For a lot of people, if anyone has recently had a child, or, you know, you could ask them if you want, if you don't have a child, it's quite involved having a child, isn't it? It's quite time-consuming. I remember, I've told this story before, but I had all my kids, and then someone who was about to have a kid said to me, oh, did having a kid affect your lifestyle in any way? And, Ruth's laughing away. It's like, yeah, it turned my life completely upside down. My old life is no more, which is a good thing. But, you could stop there. These things are massive. You know, life, having children is tiring. Having family problems and parental whatever and having husbands who are hard work, no doubt, I wouldn't know, is tiring. But it's, yeah, they're massive, aren't they? Life is big. These things are so big, they take up so much of our lives. Friends, church. What else have we got? Sorry, I've gone off my list. Lewis is going to shout at me. Our cars, our houses, pets, money, mortgages, bills, clothes, health, fitness, our future. We had that this week at home group. We were talking about things. And here's one. Someone in the midst of life says suddenly, you know, guys, can we pray for me? It's just staring down the barrel of their future. It's like, it's massive. What am I going to do? I'm young. I don't know. I can't see where I'm going. It's nerve-wracking. It's worrying. And these things are massive. Our futures, our schools, universities, care homes, general busyness of life. And then you paint this scene, and it's like, man alive, if you're anything like me, you start to already run out of puff and want to just go and lie down. And, but this is real, isn't it? This is our day-to-day life. And then unfortunately, some of the fruits of that are essentially tiredness. We get weary, we get stressed, we worry about things. And then from there, you end up fearing things. You get caught up in fear. And then from there, and this is what I'm talking about, this is the thing that kills faith in just everyday life. It leads to just unbelief. Because you're using these to just look around at what you can see. And all you can see is that school problem. I haven't slept in forever, says Ruth. You know, I'm this, I'm that. All of these things. And you end up, and you can end up just choked. And life is tiny. And then someone like Matt comes along and says, guys, God's going to do something exciting. If you're anything like me, if you're only looking at those things, do you know what the response is? You get exhausted. Because you hear Matt saying, we're on a mission, we've got things to do, we need people to plug in, we need this, this, and this, and it's great. But if all you're doing is existing in the natural everyday, you just say, well, count me out. Because I have no energy for any of those things. But then on the flip side of that, is the supernatural everyday life. And you could just read out the fruits of the Spirit, which essentially I think I've done so on. On that side of just everyday, miraculous, supernatural, Holy Spirit life, we have love. First and foremost, love. The love of God. Now, if we're going to help and join in God's mission in any way, shape, or form, we need this. Because what I have in here is not enough. And in fact, it's positively useless. But the love of God means that I can plug into his mission, and it all is in God's heart, and I can join with him and say, yep, I love these people. The people we walk amongst, the people we work with, our unsaved family and friends, we need the love of God to join in this mission of seeking and saving the lost. We need the love of God. So we have love. We have rest. What a tonic to that list of life. God's promised rest. We have peace, joy, grace. If I miss something, shout out. Patience. I need that. I confess. I often talk about how we need to confess our sins to one another. Yesterday, I didn't have enough patience with my kids. I was just tired and grumpy. And, it's like rubbish, fail of a day. And too grumpy, too miserable, shouting at them for nothing. Get them all together and then say, kids, I'm really sorry, that was rubbish. And then they say to you, oh, I'm sorry. And I say, no, don't do that. It was rubbish. And normal everyday life, just not a good effort from me yesterday. So forgive me, my poor efforts. And anyway, we move on. But yeah, patience, self-control, kindness, gentleness, energy, perseverance, the ability to walk and not faint. What an ability. Boy, do we need the Holy Spirit for that. This is what I'm talking about. Guys, we're on a mission. The Holy Spirit wants to work. Absolutely. What do we need? We need God's inspirational energy. Resurrection power. We sang about it. I love the start of that song. When, what is it? When my hope and strength is gone. We need to get there quickly. Because that's the reality of this everyday list that I read out. The ability to walk and not faint. To run and not be weary. Please, Lord, help us all. Lightness. Ease of being, wisdom, clarity of vision, freedom, liberty, spaciousness. That's what we need. You look at that everyday life list. I don't know about you. I've already got my rotas for the year. Rachel's filled up the calendar for the year with all the stuff. Our calendar at Home Group is infamous because it's just so jolly stressful. It's just pen everywhere. I just don't like looking at it. And but all these things are going on. It's not conducive for feeling like you can take a big deep breath and feel spacious and that you've got lots of time. That's not what my everyday life makes me feel like. But through God, through the supernatural every day, I can rise above all of that and breathe and find in myself spaciousness and wide open spaces. And on the other side of that line, eventually there we have at the end the opposite of unbelief. We have faith. We have the vision that sees the one who we worship and we trust and who has more than we have, a heart and a love for the people in this city and in our lives, and that's what we need. And then you read these two things. I want to just get others. We have these lists. We have the natural every day. We have the supernatural every day, and we can put them like this. And then Jesus says, come to me, in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. So that's everyone in the bottom list. That's just normal people, just busy, struggling to pay bills, struggling to start their vans, struggling to do whatever. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So here we have this, there's a transition going on where Jesus says, you come to me and I'll give you this. That's what we want. Take my yoke upon you, which is easy and light. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest from your crazy every day. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here God is supernaturally giving something to us. And in 1 Peter 5, we all know these verses, we are told, give all of your worries and cares to God. So here it's the other way around. So from the normal everyday stuff, and you can think about what those things are now, kids, work stress, whatever it is, money, future, all my worries and cares, I've got to give them to God. And as a result, God says, right, they're now mine, so you don't have to carry them. And what I will give you is I'll give you some rest. And I'll give you a lightness of burden. And I'll give you my insight, my vision, faith to see things properly. What a wonderful transaction. And of course, really, this is just the normal Christian life. To nick a Watchman Nee title of a book, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Normal people, the lost, as I used to be, this dynamic was not part of my life until I came to Jesus and he filled me with his Holy Spirit, and now this is a possibility to me. And of course, all of this really is walking in the Spirit. And if you read Galatians 5, there's a whole section on the Holy Spirit, our new life. And in Romans, in the ESV, it's great. It talks about this thing of we are a people of the new way of the Spirit. That's us. It's not normal. It's completely new. And we need to learn how to walk in it. So God says to us, City Church, I've got plans. I've got plans. We've come to seek and save the lost. Our response, right, how do I get involved? How am I of any help in this? How do I get involved in this and not run out of steam and just collapse? We need to walk in the Spirit. And we need to hear what God's saying to us this morning, because this is what it's all about. We need to learn this more and more and more. We need to grow in this more and more and more, because this has to be the reality of our lives. It just says in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, which we all do, we're all alive and here and saved and thankful because God has saved us and made us alive because we were dead, but now we're alive through the Holy Spirit. So we live by the Holy Spirit, thank God, praise God. The next step is, right, we must also now walk by the Spirit. And that's the bit that we find hard. And again, you read it in Galatians, it's hard because our flesh and everything about our broken, sinful nature, it wars against that. it doesn't know how to do that. But God says, right, but you can. Walk in my Spirit. Walk in my Spirit. And it's what we have to do. So God holds up his heart and vision for what we're going to do. Great. The only possible way that this is going to go well for anyone is if we respond by learning how to walk in his Spirit more and more and more and more and more. And a lot of those things we've talked about in just at the back end of last year. We talked about all the keys to contentment that Matt was talking about, spiritual disciplines, whatever you want to call them. But it's the faithful small steps of the everyday where we spend time in prayer, where we spend time studying the word, where we spend time giving ourselves in servanthood, where we spend time rejoicing and cultivating a spirit of praise in ourselves and in our families. These are all the sorts of things that help us walk in the Spirit. And this is what we must learn more and more and more and more. And we know, obviously, because we all have lives, we know that the natural life list is real. It's abundantly real, isn't it? You just look around, stuff everywhere. I've got something from Halifax this morning. You just think, oh, bank. You know, this, that. It's just, we know that is real. And the point is that the life, the supernatural life in the Spirit, is just as real. Does anyone agree with me? It has to be, doesn't it? The gospel, the good news of the gospel and the Holy Spirit coming to live inside us is not make-believe. It's not. It's not a nice story. It can't be, can it? It can't. So we have to realize, yeah, that normal everyday, that's as I can reach out and touch it. The reality is the life in the Holy Spirit that we live is just as real. It's just as real. It's just that we can't see it with our natural eyes, and it often just seems so far away. But it's not. It's not. And so, you know, it can seem far away. And Matt stands up and he casts a vision and he says, who's coming? And if you're just living in that list of all the natural everyday, you get exhausted. And even before you've set off, you just think, I can't even take a step. I'm shattered. And we need to get beyond that. And the only way to do that is through the supernatural gift and grace and power of God. It's good. So, like I said, and again, I confess to you my own faults. I've confessed publicly many times that my greatest weakness and point of temptation is I'm lazy. I don't want to do stuff. I don't want to do this. I just want to sit down and have a lovely, quiet life for years. You know that scripture where Paul says, you know, aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your hands. I just loved that because I worked with my hands, and it was like, yeah, Lord, amen. Give me a quiet life, and I'll mind my own business, no problem. And please, Lord, I'd love to live that. But you know, I took it all the wrong way because of my temptations. But you know, I get my rotas. You get your rotas. You get Rachel's dreaded calendar. You get work things. You get blooming customers who give me all my money, texting me and doing all this, and it just piles up. And I'll tell you now, I don't know about you, but in the start of the new year, I actually had a really vivid dream that I won't tell you about, but I just thought, I felt shattered before it even started. I looked ahead into this year of stuff and study or whatever, and I just thought, oh man, I just want to go to bed. I was just exhausted by it. But again, I know, all right, yeah, that's real. That's the real reality of my everyday. But so what now? I've got to get beyond that. That's no good. God's not going to be able to use me like that. So we've got to find the next thing, the next reality. And we've all been reading, haven't we? If you're doing the Bible in a year thing, we're in Mark. And I'm really loving Mark at the moment. First of all, because you realize off the bat how spiritual life is. Jesus is walking around. Wherever he goes, he's casting out demons. People are demonic. It's everywhere. You know, again, we talk about the natural, and then Jesus just shows us the reality of the other side. He's just walking around a town, probably far more moral than this nowadays. And wherever he goes, he's just come out of it. Spiritual, demonic activity everywhere. And life is so spiritual. And then we get this in Mark 4. He's telling the parable of the seed, you know, sown on good ground, on thorny ground, on the road. And we all know the story. But this is the point that I'm making about, you know, God's looking for faith. And we want that. We want to be a people of faith that respond to God's heart in faith. What's the problem? Life. And Jesus spells this out for us. He says, and others are sown among thorns. And those people, where it's sown like that, they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, life, isn't it? Listen to what Jesus is saying. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and money and the desires for other things, they enter in. And they do what? They choke the word of God. It's such strong language, isn't it? But you look at the beginning bit. What chokes the word of God in our lives? Care about stuff. It's true, isn't it? I'm not just saying all this because it's like, oh yeah, we got busy lives. It chokes the word of God to death. It's unbelief. It chokes faith. So God speaks and we're here. And what do we need to respond with? We need to respond with faith. And so what that means is all of these really real things in our lives that make us tired and weary and stressed, we need to give them to God because they're his and he takes the weight of them. And then you realize all of a sudden, it's not so heavy actually, and I can carry on. And that job that's just been given to me over there, I've got the strength to do it. I might not be able to see all the way down over there, but I've given that to God, and this is a real genuine work. God, you have that, and then he gives me rest for my soul. And we're able to walk. It's an amazing reality. And I want us to see it as a reality because it is the point, no doubt, that we all need to grow in. Christians across the world, why? Because humanity is broken. And the flesh, everything about us, it wars against this. It doesn't find this easy. So we need to practice. We need to read. We need to be disciplined to some level to do these things, to be faithful in the everyday. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the reality of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if none of that's going on, and we've only got the other naturalists, do you know what we're doing? And this is so real, and I know this because I've done it, and you'll have done it, is, we live in a spiritual world. We live in a spiritual battle. It's so real. And if we haven't got any of the other stuff going on, we wade into that war, which is so serious and real. We walk into a battlefield with little clicking toy guns and wooden swords to fight an enemy who's flying blooming jet fighters and has automatic weapons. And we walk in like this if we're just walking in the natural, clicking our little caps, saying, oh, I'm coming to get you. We'll just no chance, and we'll just be trampled down. But if we come in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing to do with us, in the power of his resurrection power and all the rest, all these things, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we can engage with Jesus as he says, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because it's his and his power. And we know all the scriptures, not by might, nor by power. We know it all, but by what? But by my Holy Spirit. It's great. So we need to grow in this. We need help. We need to ask for help. Lou's not in here, is she? So I can publicly give her some airtime in a minute. But we need to help each other in all of this. This is why we come to church, isn't it? To be refreshed like this and think, yeah, Johnny, set my eyes on things above. Set my mind on things above. Not what I see. I don't want to walk by sight. I want to walk by faith. All of these things. But we need reminding because it doesn't come easy to us. So that's why we have church. So we have house group. So we can gather around one another. And when someone says, I'm worried about my future. And someone else says, this is a stress to me. And we say, right. And we gather around and we pray and we lift it to God. And God gives us of himself. It's why we do it. Because we need it. Often we need help. I told the story of a conference I went to just before Christmas. This man, mountain of a guy who's a church leader. He just showed me this so clearly. He's like, this guy's a legend. And in the middle of this prayer time, he just stops. He says, guys, can you pray for me? I need help. You know, you think I'm this, this, and this. I'm not. I'm struggling. The guy's a mountain. You just think, how? But we just gathered around him. We pray and we minister the Holy Spirit to one another. And it's real. It's real. It's actually real. We must. It's so true. And we need to get there more quickly. I don't know if you were here. I told that story, and then I challenged us. I don't know if anyone did this. I challenged us, on the back of that story about the guy asking for help, to be prayerful before the Lord and to ask God, give me someone who I can encourage. And I could either send them a message or go and say something to them individually. Did anyone do that? Oh, you did. Did anyone receive anything from someone saying, I think you're lovely, or whatever. I'm going to set the challenge again, because I know a few people that did and they didn't, but we need each other, and it doesn't take much for the Lord. And I tell you now, if you go and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, who can I encourage? Who can I say something to lift them above that line? Because this is what it does in the natural madness of the everyday, and then God comes and he speaks to you through a brother or sister in the church. So I just wanted to say, you know, I see this and this, and I love you, you're great, you know, we'd be lost without you, and etc. It's massive, and it's not just a nice idea. Ask God, tell me, who can I encourage, who can I build up? So I set the challenge again, and go away and message someone in this church, message a few people, whoever God puts in your heart, and encourage them, and say, keep going, you're doing a really good job, you keep walking, because it builds us, and it lifts us above that natural, just everyday. It's good, and we minister the Holy Spirit to one another. And so as we walk in the Holy Spirit, we find in ourselves, we are living a life that's nothing to do with ourselves anymore. And this is, I bang on about this constantly, but this is what God does through the Holy Spirit. We live our lives, we walk in him, and I realize I'm living no interest of myself. Where other people's needs register before mine, that's what we're aiming at in this mission and everything that we're doing. There's a fantastic book. It's called Freedom from a Self-Centered Life. It's by William Law. He's an old school legend. And Andrew Murray actually took the book and then added his own commentary to the book, Freedom from a Self-Centered Life. It's like, yeah, that could be in part of whatever you want to label the gospel as, but it's that. It frees me from the tyranny of my own jolly selfishness. And that's what we find. And we help others and we minister to others as we walk together. And so we need supernatural strength to be involved in God's work, to be a part of his plan for everything else, for this church, for all the churches in Chester, for the church in the UK, for the kingdom of God here in the UK. This is where we are. This is where we've been sent. And then there's the reality of that list, that life is hard, life is busy, it's tiring, and it's miserable. I'm not going to end there. But it is. That's the reality. And then the other reality for us as people of the new way of the Holy Spirit is we must be people that quickly say, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm tired. It's the start of a new year. I'm flagging. Breathe into me, Lord, please, some strength. Give me your strength. Give me your joy. The ability and the absolute necessity for all of us to enjoy God as we read his word, as we spend time with him, to just for no other reason, to just enjoy being his child and to just enjoy him for all that he is. And as we do that, we glorify him even more. And it's wonderful. So at this point, I will just big up Lou, who's not in here, thankfully. But basically, Lou modeled at house group this entire sermon for me this week. So she came, and whenever we have a break, so we had the Christmas break, whenever we have some period, I always like to sort of have a recap to see how we're all doing. So we have a highs and lows list from everyone. What was my high? What was my low? And what's God been speaking to me? So we all go around and we give our highs, lows, and this is what the Lord's ministered to me. And it's always very helpful. Sometimes it can get a bit miserable. We try and keep our heads up. Thankfully, Josh saved the day at the last one because Josh is doing great. So anyway, this time he said, right, let's have highs and lows. And it went very well. Anyway, Lou just gave her a list. You know, this was my high, this was my low. And her lows were really real. And they were all of this stuff that I'm talking about. It's family, work, and she's just talking about, you know, just that stuff. She was like, yeah, these are my lows. And I was finding it really hard. And she said, by her own admission, she said, you know, I do that thing where you exhaust all channels first, and then you realize, oh, I should speak to the Lord about it. So she did that. So just as the boat's about to sink, she, you know, wakes Jesus and says, don't you care that I'm about to drown, that sort of picture. And anyway, so Jesus just spoke to her. And she brought her notebook, and she said, this is what God spoke to me. And she'd written it down. And I'll tell you now, and this is why we need prophecy in the church, blimmin' it. She just said, right, I've just, you know, this was, she painted the picture. This was my everyday. It was hard. And, but then I went to God, and this is what he said. And she just read out, you know, everything from God's mouth. And as she read it, I think there wasn't a person in the room that just thought, this is the word of God. Every single person, it was just one of those moments. It was so beautiful. It was just so obviously Jesus just ministering to her. And she said, obviously, as a result, oh, it changed everything. You know, God spoke to her. She said, oh, Lord, this, all of this. And he said, yeah, no worries. Took all of that, and then he spoke to her. And then as a result, obviously, she came and spoke to us. And no doubt it ministered to people in our home group, ministered to me. It lifted all of us. And it's this reality of, yeah, here's the natural everyday, and then what? And then the supernatural everyday, where we come and he speaks to us, or he just does something, or he brings us to a house group where someone else speaks the word of God to us, and it lifts us. And we find ourselves walking in the Holy Spirit, and it's absolutely great. And one of the things she said was, Lou is, again, by her own confession, she's a control freak. She likes control of everything. And she realized she's not in control, which is a common realization for control freaks, my wife. And but anyway, she said she realized. And a lot, what she does, she fell into this trap, which is just so non-gospel. If you ever find yourself in this trap, she found herself in the trap of, once everything's perfect, I'll start. And so she wants to get everything ordered. And then she said, when everything's happy, I'll feel good. And then, Lord, watch me go. You know, just watch me. And he said to her, Lou, it's okay not to be okay. And to just, you know, the mess that you're in, that's all right. We can work with that. And it spoke to so many of us. Because is that not true for all of us? For the people that do music, it's a regular feeling, isn't it? You're playing the music, you're the worship team. I can't do this. How can I do this? You know, there's this, 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 and this. It's all right. If we're waiting for perfection, we'll never do anything, will we? Me doing this, other people doing whatever. You know, we can't do anything. Coming to church and just lifting our hands and saying thank you to Jesus. If there's ever that thought of, well, how can I do that? That's not a God-given thought, because that's not the gospel. The gospel is, yeah, I know. I know you're not perfect. I know that. My son is, and I'm looking at him, not you. And so it's a great relief. But yeah, that thought of, you know, Matt comes, big vision. God's heart for what he wants to do is big, it's massive, and we need to respond in faith. But we mustn't respond from a point of, well, it rules me out because, you know, there's this, this, and this wrong with me. And God says, no, that's nonsense. I know. I know all of that. That's fine. You give that to me. And it's not going to be perfect. We're not going to reach ideal situation. We just need to walk, and we need to walk in his spirit, and we'll be able to walk and not faint. We'll be able to run and not get weary. It's great, isn't it? This is what we need. And so we need to be a people who hear God, which we have done, hear his heart and respond to it. We need to be a people of faith. When God comes and he looks at city and he's with us, he says, yeah, these people, they're asking big things of me, And not just for the sake of it, not just out of emptiness, but they're believing in me for these things. They're walking in my Holy Spirit. There are people who ask for help from one another, who encourage one another. They ask help from me. They're just, this is what we need. We hear God's mission, and we read the New Testament, and we read famous accounts of all these things, and our response must be, right, Lord, help me to walk in your Holy Spirit. So let me pray, and then I think we're going to finish. Lord, we love you. We love your heart. We love your heart of love, your heart of redemption and rescue for lost men and women. Lord, we thank you that you are moving here in Chester. You're moving in us. You're moving in the other churches that we know and love. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to so join with you in that. Lord, and I pray that you would minister to each one of us, that you would help us to be a people who give you all of our cares and our burdens, Lord, that worry and fear and unbelief would have no part in our everyday life because of what you've done for us, because you yourself have come to live in us. Lord, I pray you would give us eyes to see as you do, Lord, that you would give us a heart after your own heart, Lord, and help us day by day to walk, to take the everyday steps, but walk, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to be of use to you as you so desire to move and change lives. Lord, please help us, I pray. Help us to be more like Lou, who is so just childlike in her response to you. Lord, I pray you administer to each one of us. Encourage us, Lord. Stir us and help us to grow in walking in your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. We love you with all our hearts, Lord. And we love to be here. We love to be about your business. We love to lift your name on high and shout and sing and praise your name, Jesus. Amen.